he would not be limited by government hiring salaries. Okay? Mm-hmm. He would offer bonuses. His bonus would be limited only that his entire annual income could not exceed that of the President of the United States. But all I'm saying then is, then he has the best of both worlds.
So you agree with Gore's proposal then?
See, the problem that he has now, let me explain what the problem he has now. He does not have a board of directors. If he had a board of directors, it would be different. He does not have a board of directors. He reports to an assistant secretary. An assistant secretary is a political appointee who knows nothing about the information business. All that that individual will know, he or she, is what this individual tells him. And this individual is very smooth and a good salesperson. Okay? And all he has to do is to set a goal for himself in terms of number of dollars. Mm-hmm. I've been through this long in advance. And he always sets it so it's going to be low enough so that no matter how bad he does, he makes the number.
Yeah.
You see what
yeah.
I mean? And all I'm saying is that he has an advisory board now, has no power whatsoever, does not even report to the president, reports to him. Well, come on. You know, if he had an advisory board and reported to the secretary, that would be different. But all I'm saying is that he's going to have freedom under this new operation. He'll get it under this new operation, as long as this administration's in. Under this new type of operation that, and he has a 5-year contract. You get this guy for 5 years. And you get no leverage.
It's going to be interesting. Well,
the only leverage you have is you won't, you know, you can say, well, I won't buy any more doctors from you.
Yeah.
That's all right. But that's not leverage.
Before we leave NTIS, just want to get your reactions to those various efforts to centralize. Well, let me just quote Saul Herner in his article, says that Mel Day should be recognized for the, quote, building of a national integrated information clearinghouse. Do you remember that article in his Brief History of Information Science that Herner did back in 84?
I don't remember very much about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what he says about you as one of the pioneers of information science. Now, and I began to think, this is NTIS, but is he talking about NASA more than...
He must be talking about, 84 I'd retired.
Right, no, he's talking about contributions of various folks. I thought he was talking about NTIS and your work there, but then I began to think it sounds more like he was talking about the work at
NASA.
Well,
I had one big advantage over him. Most people, and that I was able to develop the type of working relationships with the other federal agencies that
mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody's done since. Mm-hmm. I made a point of doing that, and I could get other agencies to do things that they're even less willing to do mm-hmm. now.
Well, that's what my main question is. All since 45, there have been all these efforts to put together that entire STI system. And we've never quite managed it.
No, well, you can't manage it. The problem you have is that each individual agency department has its own authorization legislation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They all have something in it that concerns information, and they're all interpreted by the way that the secretary or the head of the agency wants to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in most cases, the head of the agency could care less about information. I mean, he's got problems.
Right.
And this
right.
is not exactly the top of the list. Uh-huh. See.
And so what, integration and cooperation concerns take a lower priority?
Well, he doesn't worry about the other agencies.
Right.
He will agree to his group participating if he can see the advantage that's going to accrue to
uh-huh.
his program.
Okay.
And so it has to be done. It has to be done in such. Yeah, look, I don't care whether it's government or private sector or any organization. You can't convince management, top management, to cooperate unless they can see some advantage accruing to them or their, or their organization, mm-hmm. primarily their organization, and then accrues to them.
And those things were never there enough to get beyond the bare minimum in terms of.
Well, we got some of this accomplished through a Casati mechanism,
mm-hmm.
but the Casati mechanism unfortunately became unwieldy. We had too many working groups involved,
mm-hmm.
and then it became then a heavy burden for some of the agencies too. And then, of course, then when they got bounced out of the White House, then that had a major impact on the top level government.
Why didn't NTIS become the centralized coordinating agency?
Well, because their mission is different.
Different from those individual systems.
Yeah, these other agencies are completely funded.
Mm-hmm.
Their job is to provide whatever is necessary for their own facilities, their own staff, the agency staff, their contractors, bing, 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 and it's all funded. Okay? It makes a big difference.
Whereas NDIS had to do cost recovery.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, see the difference between NTIS and NLM? NLM doesn't have that problem. All NLM has to go out, and they go to the Congress, and they say, look what we can do for the American people. Okay? This is how we can improve. Well, Congress says, well, here's more money, do it. They don't have to raise their prices. They don't have to do anything. They just go out and do it, period. That's how the budget went from $45 million to $175 million.
Mm-hmm.
In 78, about 20 years, 18 years.
And NTIS never had that kind of advantage.
NTIS had an advantage when it was first set up, because it was just after the end of World War II. It was set up primarily with captured documents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The early management of NTIS didn't know anything about the information business. You'll find many of those documents now only over at the Library of Congress. But don't ask them to find them because they don't have anything to do. It's another problem. But the let me tell you what bothers me over here. During the Iran conflict, during the Iran crisis, President Carter proposed spending billions of dollars to develop alternative methods of producing fuel. And we spent billions. And we had a number of demonstration projects. And they produced all kinds of documents and reports on this. You can't find that stuff today.
I thought it would have come into NTIS, the DOE.
Some of it came in, a lot of it didn't come in. And the companies that were the contractors no longer do it that way, you can't find the stuff. This is what I mean. This is what the American public paid for. There ought to be some place that you can go to get it. We don't need it today, but we may need it 5 years from now. Who knows? Not next year. Who knows? We'll start all over again.
So your compulsion, well, actually the compulsion, I guess, would be for a DOE contract. If DOE doesn't get the report, you don't get it, because they're the front line.
No question.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that NTIS is completely dependent upon the ability of the inputting agencies to get the material for them. If they don't get the material, then that's the end of the road.
Yeah.
That's the end of the road.
Right. Let's talk about
it. It's a weakness in the system.
Oh, definitely. And I, from the end of where I'm trying to teach folks how to use the system and explain it, you can understand my trying to sort it all out, and it's a great frustration, not to mention for the user.
What knowledge is, it has some value. You don't throw it out.
Yeah, and particularly when you paid big bucks for it.
That's right. We paid big bucks for it, too.
Well, let's talk about national information policy. You've said in an article, I believe, about 76, you said instead of doing national information policy, and then you mentioned the Rockefeller Report.
Yeah, Rockefeller Report is a very good report.
Was that as close as we ever came to, if we had implemented the Rockefeller Report, would we have had what would have satisfied you in terms of the national information policy?
not completely. But the Rockefeller report was workable and would start us on that road. I mean, you know, you're not going to get it in one step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And success is built on success. And all I'm saying is that if we'd been successful with that particular, implementing all those particular things, then we'd have been well along the road. This is no question about it. It was a very good report. Andy Ames was involved in that.
Mm-hmm. And I gather you think that, you said in, again, this article, in your 78 article, that you had hope from the Carter administration, but I gather all that initiative...
Well, the Carter administration, you know, this is what happens with politicians. I went down to... the ASIS annual meeting in Atlanta when the key speaker was Governor Carter. This was before just before he ran for president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he told about how important information was and bing, 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 bing. And then he got elected president, which is kind of a fluke, but that's another problem. And he was elected president, and he was a very hard-working, probably raised his stature so much more since he's left the presidency than when he was in the presidency. Brought in a group of Georgians who didn't know the first thing about how to operate in Washington, just the same way that this president did his first year. First year was a disaster. And halfway through the second year was a disaster. I mean, it was one disaster after another, that's all. And tried to do everything, micromanaged, tried to do everything himself. I mean, it's bright as a dime, well-meaning as they come. There's just no question about mm-hmm. this. I have friends who would write staff papers in agencies and get back comments from the president in his own handwriting on those papers. Come on. I mean, there's millions of these things. Well, you know, dozens of these things being generated all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. he would read those things. And his comments were well done. There's just no question about that. The problem he had is he didn't have a help around him
mm-hmm.
to implement the things. He had a majority in the House and the Senate, and he couldn't get a damn thing done because he didn't know how to operate in Washington. It was really a sad deal.
Mm-hmm. I was a fan of Carter in most ways, but it is, yeah.
Yeah. It's too bad.
You have hopes for a national information policy? Think it'll ever happen? Or are we just too diffuse in terms of the social system?
Oh, I think, we don't have, we have national information policies.
Right.
We don't have a national information policy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have a national information policy, it's going to be so general, it isn't going to mean much to anybody.
Huge. Still have to come back to the...
Still have to come into in order to implement the thing. I don't think there's any question that as time goes on that it will be required, but it will not... It'll be an evolving thing. See, I never believe in revolution. I don't believe in evolution. And because that's the way things work. You build on success. And you get one, okay, now we go on to the next, and eventually you can get things under control.
Well, let's talk about ACES. Your term as president, you were president in
1975, 76, yeah. We were there during the bicentennial.
Yeah. How did you get nominated?
Don't ask me. I was nominated. I was the incoming president in the year before.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you've had lots of ACES.
I know a lot of people. I've lectured all over the country.
Yeah.
I used to write. I didn't have time to write, so I didn't do as much writing, but I used to give talks on them.
Right, right.
And
you held a lot of different positions within ACES, too, and committees and those kinds of things.
I always tell you, I don't believe in blood or I don't participate now. I lost patience with the organization.
Really? Why?
Well, because ACES' big problem was it didn't know what it was. Yeah, I can remember when there was a big talk about whether ACES and SLA ought to combine.
Mm-hmm. Were you in favor of that merger?
I thought it was too restrictive.
On ACES?
On ACES. Uh-huh. I have no problem with the merger, though, but all I'm saying is that it would have grown beyond being a library association, as far as I was concerned. Mm-hmm. Let me explain what I mean. SLA has got a good executive director, and they got good programs. And it's a good organization.
Now you mean?
SLA, when I was president, and ACES had the same number of members. SLA has twice as many members today as ASIS has. Okay? When we're in the information age, with all this that's going on, all I'm saying is that the tool that propelled the ACES community was the computer. Most of us. I mean, you know, if we were still doing things manually, we'd be a lot further behind now than we are now. There's just no question about it. All I'm saying is that when a computer had its advent, we didn't change. What do you define as the information community? What do you define as the information community? People who know how to manipulate information? People know how to communicate it. What's the information community? This is why I said ACES didn't know what it was. And all I'm saying is that with a field that has grown from millions to billions
of dollars,
ACES is no bigger now than it was in 1976, 20 years ago. So, I mean, you know, if I had time, you know, today, if I was younger and I had the energy I had 20 years ago that I have today, I'd have raised hell. But at my age, nobody wants to listen to the old guys anymore, so I don't do it anymore. I just keep quiet, that's all. The young guys, it's their watch. This is what they want to do. I'm there if they want to ask questions. I'm there to give any advice that they ask me. If they don't, I keep quiet. Mm-hmm. They're not going to listen anyway. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about in that 20 years period prior to when you became president? Did you see the same kinds of problems?
No, because we didn't have any concept of what was happening. I mean, remember when I became president in the 70s, we just had the third generation was coming in. We were just starting then. But this would involve... The first thing I tried to do was to get the term for a president extended. 2 years. Okay? Because in 1 year you can't do anything. I mean, because you need a lot of help along the way, okay? And it helps if you can get a president who comes from an organization that has resources, because it takes resources. If he can't do it, then he can get people to do certain things and give him what he needs in order to get things moving. Okay? But the president has to be the leader. Okay, and has to be an instigator and has to get people moving. Okay, and what I'm saying over here is that in the 2 year period, he's got twice the opportunity as in a 1 year period. That's all I'm saying. More than twice the opportunity. Because by the end of 6 months into his, people know who he is, they're usually comfortable with him. He's got committees going, bing, bing, bing. This guy here, at the end of 6 months, if he gets committees going, they're all out of business. Another 6 months, period. Then we start all over again.
As the new president comes along.
A new guy comes along, and you know, maybe he doesn't think quite the same way. And I'm not saying that's bad. But all I'm saying is that the field has changed, and we haven't changed with it.
Who turned down your idea? The board? To have 2 year terms? Or just wasn't acceptable.
Yeah, and I had it to start. I recommended a start with the next president, not with me.
Uh-huh.
I'd have been happy to work for 2 years. I told him that. I'll work for 2 years. I'm not the president. I will help the president for 2 years. I'll give him a year of my time. But he needs 2 years. And they turned it down. I think any of these organizations, if the president is going to have an impact, he's got to be at least 2 years. ICSTE, I was president for 6 years. OK? Okay? Then most, I was the only president that's ever been president for 6 years. Most presidents are president for 3 years. But you need 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't have any impact. No impact at all. I mean, the next annual meeting is somebody else. So, and you need somebody who can lead, and somebody who can get people excited. And there's a lot to get people excited. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem that you have is that many of the members feel that if we expand and start expanding, where do you draw the limits? And it's a problem. You can't do everything. You can't bring everybody in. First of all, they don't want to come in. So but you got to start someplace by looking. It certainly should be beyond where we are now. Okay? Or maybe it's those computer guys that are working in information organizations. I mean, but you have to have something in meetings that's going to appeal to these guys. So it isn't just opening up membership. It's a matter of having programs that will appeal to these different things. You know, I'm saying we're not doing that right now.
So you think ACES is still basically doesn't know what it wants to be?
No, ACES I think knows what. I think that as far as the leadership of ACES is it wants to be what it is.
Small, elite group, closed, or not closed, but self-contained.
Yeah, you know, I read the ACES Journal. You know, if I'm an R&D type, that's good. If I'm not an R&D type, I don't find there much there to read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't compulsory, it wouldn't be in print. If it didn't become part of every agency, of every membership that they're paying for it, you know, we all pay for this, Jason's Journal wouldn't survive.
You think it needs more practical kinds of articles, or?
I would like to see more practical kinds of articles. Because that's going to appeal in many cases to many more of these people.
Description of, like, system implementations and projects and that kind of thing.
That's the payoff. The other is critically important.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the bulletin is supposed to do that.
Doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't do it. And not only that, the guy that has to spend the time and the work and put together the kind of an article that you want for that journal.
Mm-hmm.
And has to put a lot of work into it. It's not what you put into the bulletin.
Now, you mentioned about ACES and its practically broke days. I think you said you wrote some checks out of your own checkbook to
I got those checks.
Just cover those up, cover things. This was when you were president or earlier?
No. We had an executive director whom we will leave unnamed, who took care of all the arrangements for my predecessor. I think that was Dale Baker, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't it?
I think Dale was actually 2 years before you, but I'm not certain.
Well, who was before me?
Gosh, I don't know.
Okay, don't worry about it. Not important. But the meeting was up in Boston. I'm sure it was Dale.
I think you're right. Yes,
I think it was
right.
Dale.
Yeah, okay.
And at this meeting, I went to this meeting. We were only a small group. And for every little subgroup meeting, they had breakfasts. And they had a big cocktail party that the president had, and had people up to a suite, free drinks and what have you, and so forth. So I said to the executive director, how are we covering all these costs? Oh, yeah, nothing to worry about. When I became president, I asked to see the books. And when you look at the books, you couldn't tell because it looked all right. I couldn't find all the costs, and in fact, I wasn't looking at all the costs, but I was looking at bottom lines. So, come to find out, we had a CPA taking care of our books. They're only selectively posting certain. Okay? We were bankrupt. It's just that simple. We had spent more money than we had money. Well, for a professional society in that situation, go out and borrow money, forget it. You know, no bank will even, they won't even let you sit down in the chair. They don't want to give you the money. You're up before you're in. And so I made arrangements. We borrowed money from friends, individuals. I made checks out to cover. So we finally got ourselves back so that at least we could pay our bills.
Now, wasn't the
and then Peggy Fisher came after me, and she is good.
Now, the NSF grant came right along this time also, right?
We got an NSF grant. If we got an NSF grant, it was in connection with the bicentennial. We didn't get it for anything else.
Okay. You mentioned in your...
we had a good bicentennial.
ALA yearbook, NSF grant, the study, research, and development planning requirements and priorities of scientific and technical information community.
Who did that come from?
From NSF.
To whom?
To ACES. In your ALA yearbook article that you did, I think you did that the year you were president or the year before.
I don't even recall that.
Yeah, I meant to look that up to see, so you don't remember. Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Jeez, must have been a brave success. I can't remember. All I can think of in that particular situation is that NSF must have, in 1976, NSF must have,
They gave some money for just operational support and for doing a special meeting. I'd have to look at my...
In 1976?
I don't remember.
Well, it may be. I'll tell you what, you know, in those days over there, I was scrounging to get any kind of money we could.
Yeah.
And it may be that... I just don't remember what happened on it, that's all.
Yeah, I can't remember. Well, we can go on and I'll double check it.
Okay,
try to put it in.
Okay, that's all. Just tell me and I'll see what I can
do. So, government retirement. I wanted to talk about ACES. Now let's go back. You retired in
82, February 82.
You had enough? Or that was your number of years in, or what?
Oh, I had more than enough years. I had pretty close to 40 years with my military.
Mm-hmm.
I just trying to get things done in Congress was difficult.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of things I wanted to do. I was trying to run a business. I didn't know the first damn thing. If I knew today, I've been in business now over 15 years. I've worked for large corporations. I know how to run a business today. I can do things today that I couldn't do back then. I didn't know. Any more so than the present director of NTIS. He's bright. And he's smart. He doesn't know anything about running a business. That's all I'm saying. Okay? And like I said, you learn. I mean, it's just like I learned the information business. You learn how to run a business.
How did you choose this information technology group to go with? When
they came out. I never had a look for a job. Everybody came after me.
Huh. They knew you were retiring?
The man who hired me was Ron Quake.
Mm-hmm. You had worked with him somewhere?
Ron Quake was the guy who was at SUNY. And then when the state of New York wouldn't buy him a new computer, because he needed more capacity, he took the top technical people. He went to each of the universities that was a customer and got a contingency contract with them, contingent upon him having a computer, and bing, 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 bing. They would contract with him, and the total came to X number of dollars, and on the basis of that, he gets some money.
Hmm.
He didn't have any money to do this. Then he went to the Carrier Corporation up in Albany. They had two 365s. One of them wasn't doing anything. So he got cheap time on that extra computer, and he set up his online system, which essentially is what he had at SUNY. It was one of the three. They set up BRS. BRS was purchased then by the Information Technology Group.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
They bought BRS, they bought Predicast,
mm-hmm.
They bought IHS. Okay. All of them were making money.
Yeah, that's why I didn't recognize that name. I didn't associate them with BRS.
BRS.
I learned to search on BRS. So.
Okay, well, then you learn on BRS. Watch it. Then you know the system.
Yeah.
Ron Quake developed that particular system. And he liked, you know, what he thought I might be able to do for him. So when he became president of the Information Technology Group, a group president, then he brought me in as a group vice president.
And what did you do?
I was responsible for new product development.
What system, what were the new products that you worked on?
Well, I can't tell you very much on that because I didn't stay there that long.
Yeah, you were just a couple of years there.
Yeah, and I really want to tell you what happened.